Welcome to day 169 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. This week we are reading from the New American Standard Bible, and today's reading will take us through Proverbs chapters 27, 28, and 29. So beginning at Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but the provocation of a fool is heavier than both of them. Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. A sated man loathes honey, but to a famished man any bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother far away. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, that I may reply to him who reproaches me. A prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the penalty. Take his garment when he becomes surety for a stranger, and for an adulterous woman hold him in pledge. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be reckoned a curse to him. A constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. He who tends the fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who cares for his master will be honored. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace for gold. And each is tested by the praise accorded him. Though you pound a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Know well the condition of your flocks, and pay attention to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field. And there will be goat's milk enough for your food, for the food of your household, and sustenance for your maidens. Chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. By the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures. A poor man who oppresses the lowly is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. He who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. He who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding sees through him. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Like a roaring lion and a rushing bear is a wicked ruler over a poor people. A leader who is a great oppressor lacks understanding, but he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. A man who is laden with the guilt of human blood will be a fugitive until death. Let no one support him. He who walks blamelessly will be delivered, but he who is crooked will fall all at once. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. He who robs his father or his mother and says, "It is not a transgression," is the companion of a man who destroys. An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. He who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Chapter 29, verse 1. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. A man who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he who keeps company with harlots wastes his wealth. The king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows it. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. By transgression, an evil man is ensnared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked does not understand such concern. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. When a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest. Men of bloodshed hate the blameless, but the upright are concerned for his life. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. If a ruler pays attention to falsehood, all his ministers become wicked. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common: the Lord gives light to the eyes of both. If a king judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. A slave will not be instructed by words alone, for though he understands, there will be no response. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. He who pampers his slave from childhood will in the end find him to be a son. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. He who is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He hears the oath but tells nothing. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. An unjust man is abominable to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is abominable to the wicked. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to focus on Proverbs 29 verse 25, which says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." We have been talking about the fear of the Lord in some of our devotionals in the last 2 weeks, but today we want to focus on something else, the fear of man, and exactly what that is and why it brings a snare to a person's life. The fear of man is an ancient problem that's been common to people across cultural lines. Think about it. The fear of what other people might think about us or say about us or do to us if we fail to conform to their will. This type of a thing has plagued people for centuries. Yet the Bible, as we heard today, is very explicit in addressing this issue. It basically warns us that the fear of man brings a snare. And that word snare means a trap or a noose or a hook. Do you realize that fearing other people's opinions will trap you into doing or saying things that you should not do, things that are contrary to your own conscience? Many people live their whole lives allowing their own decisions to be dictated by the fear of what others will think. This is a type of bondage that robs people of true freedom. They live a life that's chained to things they fear. We can find the consequences of the fear of man illustrated throughout Scripture. And let's take a look at some of these biblical examples that I'm sure you will remember as we go through them. First of all, I'm going to take one example from the book of Genesis. And this example of the fear of man tells us that the fear of man will cause a person to lie or deceive. Do you remember the story in Genesis 12, verses 11 and 13, and Genesis 20, verse 2? This is where we heard Abram lying about his wife Sarai. He feared the Pharaoh of Egypt. And then later, he feared the king of Gerar. So there's actually two stories about Abram lying about Sarai, his wife, and calling her his sister instead of admitting that she was his wife. In both cases, the results were disastrous, as both kings took Sarai into their respective harems. Abram was afraid of what the kings might do to him. He imagined that they would kill him to get his wife. His fear of man put him under pressure to lie. If Abram had trusted the Lord and told the truth, God would have kept him safe. The scripture tells us the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord, another translation says, shall be safe. The NASB we read today says, he who trusts the Lord will be exalted. Here's the second example that we find in the Gospel of John. And this one shows us that the fear of man will cause a person to act hypocritically to please other people. Do you remember this story from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John? It's where we find the story of Jesus healing a man born blind. The religious leaders called in that man who was born blind and his parents to question them closely about his healing. They were outraged because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, these religious leaders, asked the man's parents if he was really born blind, and if so, how was it that now he's able to see? Here's the answer they gave him because of their fear of man. They said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how it is that he can now see or who has opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him himself. He is of a full age. He himself will give his own account of it." This was their answer because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already settled among themselves that if anyone should acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, he should be excluded from the synagogue. If you've ever known the parent of a child born with any kind of disability, you are probably aware of how they would give almost anything to see their child miraculously restored to wholeness, and the joy that would be evident in their lives seeing the child they dearly love receive a miracle would no doubt be beyond words. And there is no doubt that the parents of this man born blind were both astounded and overjoyed by the miracle that their son had received from Jesus's healing touch. Yet, there was no trace of it in their conversation with the Pharisees. And the Bible tells us why. This is what that scripture said. This was their answer because they were afraid of the Jews. They had a very real fear of man in their lives. It caused them to act quite nonchalant, as if they didn't even have an opinion of any kind about the whole matter of their son's healing. Yet in their hearts, they were undoubtedly screaming, "It's a miracle! Look what God has done for our son!" But the fear of man caused them to act hypocritically in front of those religious leaders because they were afraid that they would be excluded from the synagogue if they admitted that Jesus had healed him. Here's the third example from the Gospel of Mark. And this example shows us that fear of man will cause you to make decisions you know in your heart you should not make. In the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we can observe King Herod throwing a birthday party for himself. After the daughter of his new wife, Herodias, dances for him and his guests, he makes a drunken boast that he'll give her anything she asks for, up to half his kingdom. At her mother's prompting, the young girl asks for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, which is very wicked, but her mother was so angry at John the Baptist because he had told Herod it wasn't lawful for him to marry her because she was his brother Philip's wife. So here's what it says in Mark 6:26-27. And although the king was very sorry, yet because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests, he was unwilling to refuse her. So immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back his head. Though Herodias had wanted John the Baptist killed, Herod, up to that point, had protected John because he knew he was a holy man. That's what the Bible tells us. But this strategic day came when Herod was under pressure of the fear of man, and he bowed to it, making a decision he knew in his heart he should not make. The scripture tells us, because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests, he was unwilling to refuse her. This was such a horrible thing to do, but he gave in because of the fear of man. He didn't want his dinner guests to think badly of him or think he wasn't keeping his word. That was a horrible decision on Herod's part, but it all came from the fear of man. We see that same fear of man operating in Pilate when Jesus was brought before him by the Jewish leaders who were jealous of Jesus. Do you remember this story in John 19:4? Pilate told the Jews, "I find no fault in him," after he heard Jesus say, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above." When Jesus told him that, Pilate wanted to release him. In fact, it says so in John 19. I'll read it to you. It says, "As a result of this," what Jesus had said to him, "Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you release this man, you're no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar.' Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. So then he handed him over to be crucified. Because Pilate feared what Caesar might do to him if the word reached Rome of his allowing Jesus, the king of the Jews, to be free, Pilate made a decision that he knew in his own conscience was not right. I'll tell you this. Fear of man will put you under pressure to make decisions in order to please people that you know in your own heart you should not make. That's why Proverbs tells us the fear of man is a snare. Here's a fourth example. The fear of man will cause you to hide your faith in Christ. In the third chapter of the Gospel of John, we find Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders, coming to see Jesus at night. He was afraid of what the other Pharisees would think or do to him if they found out he was a follower of Jesus. So Nicodemus came to him secretly. We know that later on, Nicodemus must have overcome his fear of man because we find out in the 19th chapter of John that Nicodemus actually helped Joseph of Arimathea with the burial of Jesus' body after the crucifixion. But other religious leaders of the day never overcame their fear of man, and it kept them from confessing Jesus as Lord. In John 12, 42 to 43, we read this. It says, "Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." The scripture pinpoints one of the root causes of the fears of man. A person who craves approval of other people will fear to do or say anything that might cause him to fall into disfavor with those persons. Do you realize that many people are not willing to discuss their faith in Christ with coworkers or even relatives for fear that they might think badly of them or reject them? That is a sad state of mind for sure. Here's a fifth result of fear, the fear of man. This is that the fear of man will cause you to actually deny the Lord. This is probably the most outstanding example that we know of in the Gospels. The fear of man can cause or exert such emotional tension that a person can be driven to deny the Lord. And we know that Simon Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, experienced this acute pressure. Though just hours before, he had sworn vehemently that he would follow Jesus even to death, Peter denied the Lord with curses after Jesus was arrested. The fear of man, or the fear of what man might do to him if he admitted he was a follower of Christ, caused him to buckle under that pressure. Many Christian martyrs have gone to their deaths because they did not fear what man would do to them. In 1999, a modern-day Christian martyr whose name was Cassie Burnell, a 17-year-old student at Columbine High School in Colorado, demonstrated that she had no fear of man. As her classmate told Larry King on CNN, she completely stood up for God. When the killer asked her if there was anyone who had faith in Christ, she spoke up and they shot her for it. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." It is God's will that believers have a fear of God and not a fear of man. Remember that fear of man is always motivated by some fear of loss. Abram feared losing his life, so he lied about his wife. The blind man's parents feared being excluded from the synagogue, so they acted like hypocrites. Herod feared he would lose respect in the eyes of his dinner guests, so he agreed to behead John the Baptist. Pilate feared he'd lose his job, so he gave in to the pressure of the Jews to have Jesus crucified. The religious leaders who had come to believe in Jesus feared they would lose their social standing in the religious system, so they would not confess Jesus as the Messiah. Peter feared he'd be imprisoned or lose his life, so he denied he was a follower of Christ. All of these are very clear examples to us of what the fear of man will do if we give in to it. It will cause us to do things we know we should not do, or not do something we know we should do, or not speak up when we know we should speak up, or it will cause us to say things we shouldn't say. It operates such pressure on a person that if you're not guarding your heart against it, you will fall into that snare. Have you ever seen in your own life or recognized that you have some degree of the fear of man operating in your life? Has the fear of man caused you to lie or to act hypocritically or to hide your faith or to make decisions against your conscience or even to deny your faith in the Lord? You know, God is so merciful. He'll cleanse you if you confess this to him as a sin and ask for his mercy and grace. We know that Peter certainly received that forgiveness and he was restored into relationship with Jesus and he became a great preacher of the gospel and he died a martyr, no longer afraid or no longer giving in to the fear of man. If you recognize that this is really an issue in your life and you need the Lord's help with this, if you fear what other people will think about you and it really causes you to do things you shouldn't do or not do things you should do, then let's pray together right now. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer and I'll give you time to repeat it and then the Lord can just give you a breakthrough in this area and you can start afresh. So just follow me in prayer with this. Just say this, Father God, I confess the fear of man as a sin in my life. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me of every trace of it. I renounce and I break any agreement I have ever made, knowingly or unknowingly, with the spirit of the fear of man. I thank you for delivering me and setting me free from this sin and the spirit behind it. I come boldly now to the throne of your grace, and I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to walk in victory over this sin. Give me your grace to fear no man. Give me your grace to fear God only. Give me your grace to love not my life unto death. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. May God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.